three's a crowd, but we're glad to have you back. Obviously, mixed emotions for you, Ken, but thanks very much for coming in and seeing us as your first port of call. And I'm sure, you know, between us all...
My next port of call is back home to bed. I didn't get to bed till very late last night.
Between us all, the family, me, the newts, will buoy you up at this time. Now, I mean, one's bound to ask, you know, how was it for you?
Well, I mean, the campaign was so unpleasant. I mean, it was all personal attacks and negative polls. The final count was actually quite electrifying to me. Because, you know, there was an opinion poll on Tuesday saying Boris was 12 points ahead. Mm. I mean, even YouGov, who got it right last time, was saying he's 6 points ahead. And I think the pollsters have got to ask about how they get there. I mean, this is quite, you know, I mean, they really misjudged it. And as well, I mean, to think, to get this close, when virtually the whole of Fleet Street, except for the Mirror and the Guardian, was so down on us and our campaign.
Is it even tougher thinking that you actually came so close in the last week?
Well, for me, it's very mixed emotions, because this is the first day of my retirement. I mean, it's literally 50 years ago since I started work. And I look forward to having more time with the kids, walking the dog. I can read all the paper rather than just the bits I have to read. More time on the garden. But it's just the things we could have done, because the striking thing, and this is why I was a bit emotional when I saw my party political broadcast, people were desperate for me to win. Mm. Because if you're, you know, if you're an MP or company director, £250 a year off your fares is just another meal in the West End. Mm. But for a lot of people, it will make a huge difference to their lives. And now, I mean, there's perhaps the real failure of this campaign was Boris got right the way through without ever saying what he's going to do on fares in January. And it's a decision he's got to take this summer. And, I mean, we all know, I mean, it's going to be something like a 5% increase. And he got away, no one pinned him down, you know.
Mm. But I think you're only the second most disappointed person of what's happened with Boris. The most disappointed, surely, is going to be Dave Cameron.
Well, yes, the succession is fixed. I mean, for Boris Johnson to have won, however narrowly, when his whole partner, the whole Tory party's in meltdown, their worst result for yonks. I mean, every Tory MP is going to think, if it's a tough election coming up, Boris is the vote winner. And I think, I mean, Osborne is most... He can start undermining... He's already started undermining Cameron, all his advice about bone-dry economics and socially liberal. But Osborne, this has pushed him aside, I think.
See, I can't help feeling that Boris won for two reasons. One, because he, to those who want a Tory politician, he appeared to be a real one, rather than Dave, who increasingly seems, not least to his own backbenchers, to be a fake Tory. Mm. But even more so, Boris appeared to be not really a party politician.
Yeah.
And that is the only way you can explain it. Both of these things are damaging to Cameron, who is caught a bit like a rat in a trap.
I mean, stuck with it. I mean, if you think as well, Johnson has got this quality that he can get away with murder. I mean, any other politician who goes live on TV and uses the F word as he did about Tim Donovan, it would have slumped. But his poll ratings went up afterwards, you know.
But maybe people are looking for different things in their politicians, you know. I mean,
foul mouth.
But also, one knows any too well, you know, that any sort of minor peccadilloes in one's private life 20 years ago, as I know to my cost, would cost you dear. It now seems it just adds to the idea of Boris being a character, that there's, he's had, well, if you better observe the laws of libel, he's had such an interesting extracurricular life. But there you go. Now, look, if you want to talk to Ken, Ken's on for the first hour of the programme, when the excitement will then leave and it'll just be left with Jackie and me. By the way, Jackie, you've been seeing other men. You were down there with that Ian Dale. He's a dark horse.
Not
last
only
night
was I was there for 6 hours, David.
Oh, you were filling in until the result came.
She's flaunting herself. Anyway, listen, if you want to join in today's conversation, 0845 6060973 is the number to call. Text 84850. Email David and Jackie at lbc.co.uk and tweet at lbc973. This is your chance to talk to Ken. The reality is, though, Ken, that while, you know, I know your family means a lot to you, as does, you know, the very settled life that you've got, you're going to be out and about. You're just going to be out and about a bit differently from the way you were out and about in previous years, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. But I do love gardening, you know, and my garden often gets very neglected. I yesterday morning, while we knew the result wouldn't be until late, I got up and I took Coco for a walk on Hampstead Heath, and it was just wonderful, you know, to be out romping around with other dogs. I just having time when you can just think and you're not being interrupted, very attractive.
I cannot believe, Ken, that you are going to only be focusing on your garden. You know, as Tony Benn famously said when he left Parliament, it was so that he could spend more time, you know, with politics and campaigning. What are the things that, for somebody who's spent over 40 years, you know, as one of the leading Labour politicians, what are the things that you're still going to want to put right in London and more widely?
Well, as everything, but, I mean, you can't really do that unless you're in a position to do it. I do think, however, though, that you look at these results. I mean, no party has ever got 12 seats on the Assembly. That's out 25. And the gains Labour made, not just, but remember, we were supposed to be losing Glasgow and all that. You look across where Labour made gains in local government all over the country, and they are key Tory marginal seats. Mm. And we spent, you know, the last 2 years, well, 23 months, we started campaigning in end of May 2010, just after the general election defeat, because I knew you had to rebuild the party where it had died out. I mean, we went down to Orpington, and a woman came up to me and said, "We haven't seen anyone from the Labour Party here since the by-election." Now, that's 1962.
I was going to say, when was Eric Lovett? And I remember that.
I mean, I tell you what, I mean, for the last 20 years or more, Labour wrote off South West London, Richmond, Twickenham, Kingston. We can't win there. Last night, I mean, that's been a Liberals and Tories neck and neck for years. Last night, the Liberals were decimated and Labour came a strong second.
See, that was interesting what you say, that Brian Paddock was regarded as an attractive candidate. Not, I have to tell you, by me. I thought this business of him, you know,
you're
looking
very hard to please, David.
Well, that may be, but the point is, you know, that he focused on law and order, and he'd been a copper, as if people are going to vote for someone just because they've been a copper. That, I think the time has long since gone when there was that kind of admiration for senior police officers.
Aren't you after the Murdoch saga?
Yeah, but you know, he was never particularly credible as this man of action. I mean, if you ask people what do they remember about Brian Paddock as a policeman, it was being soft on drugs. That
yeah,
was all.
Aberspliff, basically.
But, I mean, the fact that they got, what was it, under 4%?
Yeah. Mm.
Under 4%. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, literally, someone's going to have to re-examine how they conduct opinion polls, because not only did they call the margin between Boris so wrong, but all the way through they'd had Jenny Jones, the Green candidate, on 2%. Mm. Would she be pushed into fifth place? And they came through. I mean, if I was a Lib Dem, I mean, if I was in Clegg's little circle today, I'd be saying the fact that the Lib Dems are pushed into the fourth place by the Greens, who have no real machine. I think they got about a couple of thousand members in the whole of London.
Exactly.
It's hard to imagine that most of the Lib Dem MPs are actually going to be there after the next election.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking now. He got 4.16%, and he was only barely 8,000 votes ahead of Siobhan Benita, who would have had no backup at all.
Well, we shall see. We've all been very interested because it's quite a slick campaign. There was a looked like a bit of money behind that. And, of course, she was the only candidate campaigning to build another runway at Heathrow Airport. And so we're looking forward to the publication of who funded who here at the election. Anyway, my funding was simple, all the unions. We didn't get anything from anyone else.
It's David Mellor here with Jackie Smith and with Ken. Yes, we have Ken with us through till 11 o'clock, giving his first interview since the events of last night. And if you want to talk direct to Ken, well, this is your chance. First chance for several weeks. 0845 6060 973. Text 84850. Email david@lbc.co.uk or tweet at lbc973. Susanna is in Cockfosters, a fan of Ken's.
I am.
Hello.
Hello, David. Hello, Jackie. And hi, Ken.
Hi.
I'm absolutely gutted. I was so upset. It's a brilliant campaign. Mm. But what can I say?
Oh, thank you, thank you. Anyhow, I mean, we won your area, so there's some
yeah,
small
you did,
consolation
and
there.
For that, I am smiling. But
did you stay up to the end for the result?
Oh no,
no,
no, not to the end.
Susanna, why did Boris win?
Honesty, probably personality.
Every opinion poll showed when they asked who's got the most charisma, he beat me by about 4-1. I mean, but then when asked who's the most competent, I beat him by 3-1. Just shows people value humour over competence these days.
There's a big element of that, you know, you feel that where Boris got ahead was people perceive the reality about Boris, that he really isn't that much of a politician, really. He's a sort of, you know, he's much more a have-I-got-news-for-you guy than someone who actually spends his time fretting over minor details of policy.
I would never miss him if I got news for you. I often fall off the seat laughing. But when you talk privately to the Tory members on the London Assembly, they would have liked to have got rid of him. They were furious he didn't do the day job. And, you know,
Wish you a very happy retirement?
Thanks very much.
I think you'll still hear from him, Susanna. He'll still be around.
What do you think he should do now?
Still stay around. Could become an advisor. Just don't go abroad. Stay in this country because we need you.
Well, I don't want to go abroad because coming back to
quite
God.
Yeah, and you don't want to come in through Heathrow.
I think there's orders not to let him back in, so he has to be very careful how he travels.
But I do wish you every happiness.
Thank you very much, Susanna.
You take care. Bye bye, guys. Bye.
Susanna, thank you very much. So if you want to talk to Ken, give us a call, 0845 6060 973. Ken Livingstone, after a long campaign and a long night last night, here to talk to you in his first interview on LBC 97.3. The time now is 10:15. And in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre, it's Amy Solomon.
Good morning. Well, the Blackfriars underpass is closed again this weekend for the ongoing works at the station, and traffic is still looking slow west along Upper Thames Street, south over Southwark Bridge and north over Blackfriars Bridge. Borough High Street is all